Das Chazor sagt, dass wir uns nicht mehr mit dem Sechs Gesuch und darf Pealof. Die Mishnah hat gesagt, aber Isha Achas. Und das sagt, aber Yudim Rav said, the Mishnah only allows one woman to be secluded with two men when the men are of good character. However, if the men are immoral men, a woman may not even seclude with 10 men. There's once a story where 10 married men carried out a woman as if she were dead, just so they can be secluded with her to do an aveir with her. Rav Yosef said, we find that 10 people get together to steal a beam that requires 10 people to carry it. We see that immoral people are not embarrassed to do aveiros together. In fact, maybe a Mishnah can be approved to the statement of Rav as well. The Mishnah says, when a husband warned his wife not to seclude with a certain person, and she didn't listen and did seclude with that person, he has to take her to Yerushalayim to go through the Saita process. The Mishnah says that he needs two Talmidei Chachamim to escort him to make sure that he does not have beer with her on the way. Why dafka Talmidei Chachamim? It seems to support Rav's statement that because two men are sufficient for purposes of Yichud only if they are decent men, but not if they are immoral men. Because even 10 men with a woman would be a problem for purposes of Yichud. Mar says the Mishnah does not support the statement. It may be that the only reason Talmidei Chachamim must be sent in the case of the Mishnah is because we want to send people who know how to warn him to prevent him from having beer with his own wife. Rabbi Yehuda Neim Rav said the Mishnah only allows a woman to be secluded with two men in the city, but outside the city, a woman may only be alone with three men, because if there are only two men and one of them have to go to the bathroom, that means she'll be alone with one man. The fact that the Mishnah quoted above said that two people accompany them, which makes for a total of three men, because with the husband and one woman, this seems to support Rav, which says that two men are trusted with a woman with regard to Hilchos of Yichud only in the city, but outside of the city, a woman may only be alone with three men. The Mishnah says the Mishnah is not a support for Rav. It may be that two men are generally enough, however, in this case, we need two men besides the husband so that there can be two witnesses against the husband if he has beer with his wife, and they're not there for purposes of the Yichud. Rav and Yehuda were walking on the road and there was a woman in front of them. Rav said, let's hurry away from her so that we will not transgress the Isra of Yichud. Rav Yehuda said, but you said that it's mutter if two men with one man, as long as the men are moral men. We're moral men. Rav said, I was referring to men of extraordinary morals, like that of Rav Chanina bar Papi and his Chaverim. Rav said, we give malchus for the violation of Yichud, but we do not make a woman usher to her husband based on Yichud. Rashi said, we only give malchus for Yichud with a single girl, but not for Yichud with a married woman, because then that would cause rumors to spread that her children are mamzerim. Zutra would give malchus for Yichud with a married woman as well, but would announce that the malchus is only for violation of Yichud, so that rumors not spread about her children. Rav Nachman of Parhatya asked Rav Ashi, why don't you also give malchus and make this announcement? He said, I'm concerned that not everyone who hears about the malchus will also hear about the announcement. Rav Dashna posted the teacher that we even give malchus based on rampant rumors of bad being done by a person. Mazutra would take a gift such malchus. Rav said, if a woman's husband is in the city, we don't give her malchus for yichud because we can assume that she was not mazana out of fear of her husband that he may just walk in any time. Rav Yosef said, we don't give malchus for yichud when the door of the room was opened to the rishus rabban. Rav Yosef once had a ladder removed between the floors of his house so that his wife and Rav Bibi, who was in Rav Yosef's house at the time, be separated and not subject to yichud. We just said, if the woman's husband is in the city, there's no problem of yichud. Mar says, Rav Bibi and Rav Yosef's wives were friendly, and therefore there's a concern that even with her and the husband in the city, still is an issue. Rav Kahana said, if men are in an outer room and women are in an inner room and can only exit via the outer room, there's no problem of Yichud because the men have no reason to go into the inner room, and a woman coming into the outer room is not a problem because there's more than one man there. However, if the men are in the inner room and the women are in the outer room, there is a problem of Yichud. A Braisa teaches the reverse. Abaya said, therefore you have to be machmer in both ways and prohibit both of these cases. Abaya and Rav would put separations between the men and the women at the shir so that if one tried to go to the other, there would be a noise and people would notice. Rav Amram Chasida once had women redeemed from captivity and put them in the upper level of his house. He removed the ladder to go to that took him to that level so that there should be no problems of Yichud. When he caught a glimpse of one of the women, his Yetzirah became very strong. He carried a ladder that would normally need 10 people to carry it and proceeded to climb the ladder to the second floor. Halfway up the ladder, he yelled out that there was a fire in the house, knowing that that would cause people to run in and prevent him from doing the Aveira. The Rabbanan came, they came running and saw what was going on. They complained that he embarrassed them by letting them see him like that. He said, it's better that I'd rather be embarrassed over here than doing the Aveira and being embarrassed in the Olam Haba. He then forced the Yetzirah to leave him, and a pillar of fire was seen leaving him. Rav Meir would make fun of people who did aveiros because he felt that they can win the Yetzirah if they really wanted to. One day the Yetzirah appeared as a woman on the opposite side of the river from Rav Meir. Meir's desire was so strong from the Yetzirah for this woman that he began crossing the river on a narrow plank of wood very dangerously. When he was halfway across, the Yetzirah released him from control and said, if not for the fact that in heaven they told me to stay away from Rav Meir, I would have made your life worthless. Similar story, Rabbi Akiva would make fun of people who did aveiros because he felt that they can win over the Yetzirah if they want to. One day the Yetzirah appeared as a woman on top of a date tree. Rabbi Akiva's desire was so strong he began climbing up the tree. When he was halfway up, the Yetzirah released him from his control and told him, if not for the fact that in heaven they told me to stay away from the great Rabbi Akiva, I would have made your life worthless. Mara says that Plimoy would curse the Yetzirah. And every Yom Kippur, the Yetzirah dressed as a poor person, talked his way into Plimoy's house, and got himself a seat at the table. Plimoy told him to stop doing these disgusting things. He had spit into his cup, etc. The Yetzirah made himself appear as if he died. They then heard people saying, oh, Plimoy killed this man. Plimoy ran outside the house to hide. He was afraid the government would come after him. This poor man, which is the Yetzirah, appeared there outside with Plimoy as well. When he saw how distraught Plimoy was, he revealed that he really was the Yetzirah. And the reason why he did this whole thing is because Plimoy kept cursing him all the time. He explained that the proper reaction should be to daven to Hashem to save him from the Yetzirah, not to curse the Yetzirah. Chiya Rashi would daven during Takna for Hashem to save him from the Yetzirah. His wife couldn't believe that he had desire for his nus anymore, and he hadn't been with her for years, and decided to test him. She dressed up as a Zayin and passed by him to interest him. He went and had beer with her. When he came home, he went into the oven to kill himself. His wife said, it was me. You didn't do any Avera. He said, I intended to do the Avera. For the rest of his life, he fasted as a kapara and eventually died from his intensive fasting. We find the concept in the Braisa, that the thought of doing an Avera is enough to require a kapara. The Braisa says that the Pasuk says, Isha haferim v'Hashem yisach lo. This refers to a woman who's unaware that her husband had been made for her nether, and she nevertheless transgresses the nether. The pasuk teaches that this woman needs a kapara. When Rabbi Akiva would reach this pasuk, he would cry and say, if someone who intended to do an avera, but he actually did not do an avera, still they need a kapara, how much more so someone who intends to do an avera and actually does it? Similarly, the pasuk says that if someone is unsure they did an avera, he has to bring an Hashem tali as a kapara for the avera. If someone who did not intend to do an avera, but ultimately did one, as in the case where he thought he was eating kosher fats, but may have eaten chalev, because there was one piece there and he thought it was kosher, he needs a kapara, how much more so is a kapara needed for someone who intends to do it and actually does it. Ezbi and Yehuda said, this pasuk is teaching that if someone who is unsure if he did an avera, such as in the case where there are two pieces of fats, one kosher and one non-kosher, and he ate one thinking it was kosher, and that person still has to bring a carbon because he needs a kapara, how much more so is a kapara needed for someone who intends to do an avera and actually does the avera? The Mishnah said, Mishyachad Adam Imoy. Yehuda and Rashi said, a person may be secluded with his sister, although he may not live in the same house with her, and may live in the same house with his mother and his daughter. When he said this to Shmuel, Shmuel said, it's also for a person to be secluded with any of their race, even with an animal. In fact, my Mishnah said, a person may be secluded with his mother and his daughter. Shmuel will say, a Braisa says that it's also to be secluded with one sister, which you said is mutter. Rather, we must say that there's machloikas among Tanoim. The same would be for a mother and a daughter. In fact, we find that a mayor would be careful not to be secluded with his daughter. Abai would make sure that no animals were in the field when he would be there to learn, so he should not be secluded with animals. Rav Sheshet would make sure they were across a bridge. When Rav Chana of Nardal asked Rav Kahana why he allowed an animal to be near him while he learned in the field, Rav Kahana said, I didn't realize that the animal was there. Rabbi said, a person may be secluded with two women who are sisters-in-laws, meaning they're married to two brothers. Also with two co-wives, or with a woman and her mother-in-law, or with a woman and her stepdaughter, and with a woman with a young girl who understands what Bia is, but would not have Bia herself at that point in her life. Mishnah said, "Igdilu zeh yashem b'ksusay." At what age do they have to make sure they're wearing clothing if they're sleeping in the same bed? Rav Adabar Azan, the name of Ravasi, said a girl at the age of 9 and a day and a boy at the age of 12 years and a day. And others say a girl at the age of 12 and a day and a boy at the age of 13 and a day. Both views are meant to require it's when the girl reaches an age of physical maturity. Rav and Barpapa, the name of Chisda, said it's only mutter for the father and the young daughter to sleep in the same bed without clothing if she's not embarrassed to be naked in front of him. If it is, it shows that she has a desire for bia and therefore would be usher. Rav Achabar Abba, who was Rav Chisda's father-in-law, went to visit Rav Chisda's house. When he was there, he took his young granddaughter into the bed with him without clothing. Rav Chisda told him, she's an Arusa and therefore you shouldn't have done it. Rav replied, if she's an Arusa, you have violated the statement of Rav, who said that a person should not accept kedushin for his daughter when she's a minor until she grows up and is old enough to say this is who she wants to marry. Rav Chisda said, you have also violated the statement of Shmuel, who said that a person should have no dealings with a woman. Rav Acha said, Shmuel has said that it's mutter if it's done for the sake of a mitzvah, and I did this to make my daughter happy when she sees how much I love her daughter. Therefore, I did not violate the statement of Shmuel.